good morning. We are in our final week of Let's Get Drunk. I'm proud of you guys for being here. I'm proud of you for sticking in it. It's been interesting to watch the numbers dwindle and increase throughout times of the series, but I'm proud of you guys for being here. And I want to say thank you again that this is a series that, one, you have been open to. Two, this is a series that for those of you guys that are here, you have engaged in. And many of you have engaged through taking notes, through coming on Wednesday night, through even listening to the podcast, which if you haven't been here for week one or week two, I'd encourage you to go online and find the podcast and learn those. Last week, I had one of you shoot me a text on a Thursday night and said, I'm doing homework listening to the podcast because I missed last week. And I was so encouraged by the engagement that you guys are having in this series. And so I want to let you know that I'm proud of you and I'm grateful for you guys in kind of investing into the series. You know, some of us are here in this series and here this morning and we don't drink and it doesn't really appeal to us. Some of us are here this morning and we don't drink yet we are enticed to, and it's not that far away before maybe we start to indulge. Some of us here this morning drink occasionally, maybe have drank in the past, but yet it's something that we don't want to be a part of us. And then others of us maybe are here this morning who drink and don't really necessarily see anything wrong with it. Well, I hope no matter what group you fall into, that this has been a good series for you. That no matter what group you find yourself in, that you have grown throughout this series, that you have opened your mind enough to be able to learn and find a new nugget that may be helpful. Before we dive in, I want to just quickly review where we have come from. And this is going to be high level because most of us have been in these reviews if you've been to any part of this on a Sunday or Wednesday. But it is important for us to review a little bit. One, repetition is important. And two, for those who aren't here, it is always good as well. So let's review the series a little bit. If you've been here for all of it, I'd encourage you to use this as a test to see how much you remember, how much you've retained. The first one is week number one. We asked and answered the question, is drinking wicked? Drinking versus drunkenness. What is the difference? Is drinking bad? No, we misuse drinking and turn it into drunkenness. Drunkenness is the issue. Kind of maybe taking away the myth of some of us have of like drinking is this evil thing. Jesus drank. His disciples drank. His first miracle we talked about was turning water into wine. Drinking is not the issue. It's indulgence. It's misusing something in outside of its context. Week number two, what does drunkenness offer and does it deliver? Drunkenness offers a ton of things: acceptance, safety, joy, intimacy, and power. Does it deliver those things? We learn that the Bible also offers those things, but that the Bible offers those from a lasting perspective. And that when we indulge in drunkenness, although it offers that, it may offer it in more of a short-term sense, in a way that actually may do more harm than good, that may actually leave us with some scars down the road. And then lastly, I think we talked briefly on it, but it's important to remind us as high school students why we in high school can't drink. This has been a series on drunkenness that does not just apply to you, but it applies to me. It applies to your parents. It applies to anyone. And I wanted to do a series where we're not just talking about underage drinking in high school, because the reality is soon enough, you're going to be out of high school. Soon enough, you're going to be 21. And so I really wanted to focus on drunkenness. However, it is important to end the series with reminding you in high school biblically why you can't drink right now. Why right now even drinking feels or seems or is actually wicked for the next maybe 5, 6, 7 years, depending on how old you are. The first one we talked about is it's illegal. And in Romans 13:1, we studied this, how Paul talks about the importance of obeying the authority in place, that authority was put there by God and that we are to obey it. And in the United States of America in 1984, there was a bill that was passed that was implemented in 1986 in October, that said if you are under the age of 21, you cannot consume or buy alcohol. And so as high school students, Romans 13:1 is one of the places that we go to say, unfortunately, drinking is currently not the best for us. The second is it's disobedient. In Exodus 20:12, one of the Ten Commandments talks about honoring our parents. And my assumption is that most of us, not all of us, but most of us in this room probably grow up in a home where mom and dad say, you cannot drink until you're 21. We don't want you to drink. Now, maybe there's a few of you who mom and dad let you have a drink with them at Christmas or a glass of wine or a beer. But I would assume that even those would not be comfortable with you drinking outside of the home, let alone getting drunk outside of the home. And so for many of us in this room, if not all of us, the other reason why we can't drink right now is because we need to honor our parents. We need to honor what God has set in place with the law. And so these are the two main reasons for, as high schoolers, why we do need to wait to open up this aspect of life until we're 21. And then at 21, it's going to open up to you, and then you're going to make the decision, do you drink or do you get drunk? And that choice is ultimately up to you. And I hope this series equips you for that choice. All right, let's pray. And then we are going to jump in to week number 3. I want you to shut your eyes this morning. And I'm just going to give you about 10 seconds. And I want you to enter into prayer on your own first and ask the question, what do you need from God heading in to this morning? What do you need heading into this morning? So go ahead and shut your eyes. Answer that question. I want you to take 10 seconds. And between you and God, I want you to lift that up to him this morning. What do you need from him this morning? Heavenly Father, we give you our needs this morning. Thank you that you are a God who takes our needs, who hears our needs. Be with us as we jump in today. In your name, amen. Well, hey, I want you to pair with your neighbor. We've got some great prizes on the line. I've got 2 gummy bear beers here for the 2 winners. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. Stand up. It's a very easy game. You're going to play this game on your own. The last 2 people standing are going to win some gummy bear beers. There's no beer in the gummy bears, so don't worry about that. Okay, so it's very easy. I'm going to put something up here. All of these items were sold on eBay, officially sold on eBay. You are going to guess if they were sold for more or less than the price up there. Does that make sense? Easy enough, okay? So you're going to put a 1 up if it sold for more, 2 up if it sold for less. Or why don't we go thumbs up, thumbs down? Yeah. Easier way to do it, okay? All right, so go. Thumbs up, thumbs down. We're going to go through this real quick. What did these actually cost? What was the actual cost of each item? When you get one wrong, you're going to sit down. Okay, higher, $20, okay? If you picked lower, you got to sit down. Piece of French toast partially eaten by Justin Timberlake. $2,000. Did it sell for higher or for lower? It was higher. If you picked lower, grab a seat. A jar of Brangelina's breath. $570. Higher or lower? Brangelina's. I've never heard that. It's lower. If you put higher, grab a seat. Use dentures. $34.99, higher or lower? Higher, $38.99. We still have a few of you standing. Sweatpants autographed by Gary Coleman. Does anyone even know who Gary Coleman is? This is like totally not your era, right? Okay, higher or lower? It's higher. Great. Who do we got left? A few of you left. Now, if you're sitting, you can still play. You just don't win the gummy bear beer. All right. Absolutely nothing. $75. Not quite sure what we're voting on here. But did it sell on eBay for higher or lower? We've got lowers. Okay. We're going to get some people out here. Lower. Okay, who do we got left? Three left. All right. What's this one? Life-size porcelain and gold leaf sculpture of Michael Jackson and Bubbles? Huh. Interesting. Higher or lower? And we are... It's lower. We got our two. Oh, we got one winner. All right. Everyone give him a round of applause. Jake, you win both gummy bear beers. Actually, I'm going to keep one. I'm going to keep one for Wednesday night. You did good. Everybody give Jake a round of applause. What do things cost? Well, this morning, this kind of brings us in to our week number three, where we are going to land this series of what does drunkenness cost and is the price worth paying? Last week we said, what does drunkenness give us? What do we gain from it? What does it offer to us? And this week, now that we know that, I want us to ask if it's worth it. So we know that from drunkenness, we gain acceptance, we gain safety, we gain intimacy, we gain joy, and we gain power. These are things that drunkenness can offer. That you can drink and become accepted, and you're not missing out on things, and you're not a loser on Friday nights, and maybe you have friends now. That you gain this safety of life stinks, and you have so much pain in your life, but when you drink, you can numb your pain. That you can actually feel some safety from all the hurt that has happened in your life. That there's an intimacy of creating memories and maybe even a sexual intimacy or like a vulnerability or a memory building intimacy that comes when we drink. And that drinking is fun. Otherwise, a lot of people wouldn't do it. It wouldn't be enticing that we drink because we have fun drinking and getting drunk. And that we gain the sense of power, the sense of I'm the boss of me. I can do whatever I want. I can throw the party. I can have the fake ID. I can control my own environment. I can control my own destiny. That the things that we think we gain and the things that we actually do gain, even if for short term, are these five things. Now, these things, I think, are important to recognize that you can actually get these from drinking. And you may actually experience these without negative side effects for maybe 6 months, maybe a year, maybe even through college. But are they short term? And I think that most of us would say when we look long term, these five things don't last forever. And so that's what we talked about. What can we gain? Well, here's five things that you can gain. But this morning, I want us to finish this series by now looking at the opposite. But what are really the five costs of drunkenness? Because you are going to get to make a choice. You are going to get to choose what you want to do today in high school and also once you turn 21. And so I want you to be able to make that choice not being naive, to make that choice actually recognizing what you're choosing and what the possibilities are by experimenting or choosing this type of lifestyle. It's important. So there's five that we're going to talk about this morning. You can follow along in your bulletins. We're going to go through a ton of scripture, so I'd encourage you, grab your Bibles. I've got all mine tabbed up for us this morning. I want you to engage in scripture. Engaging is so important. So touch your Bible, flip through it. iPhone Bibles are not bad, but on a Sunday morning, it is fantastic for us to journey through God's word together. Number one, drunkenness costs money. Number one thing to consider, if this is a lifestyle that we're going to get into, that drunkenness costs money. Now, there's the obvious cost of drunkenness, of the fact that just alcohol in general costs money. Did you know that 2010, the CDC, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, did a study in 2010 that said in 2010, America spent $249 billion dollars on alcohol. It ended up coming to $2.05 per drink. That is crazy. $249 billion on alcohol. I remember when I turned 21, Remember, this was the one I screwed up a lot in high school. The one thing I did right was drinking. I didn't drink until I was 21. 21, my stepbrother Jeff, his wife Jody, they take me to this bar. We go, we dance. She's like really pretty, and she's my stepsister, kind of. I don't know how that works. And Jeff is my stepbrother. They're 10 years older than me. So for my 21st birthday, they take me out to this bar. The three of us, I'm feeling cool, I'm feeling hip. They're awesome and they're hip. And we go to this bar and we start to dance, and he goes up to the bar and I'm standing behind him, and he orders me my first like foofy kind of drink with like the whatever, right? I don't even remember what it was. So he goes up, and I'm a college kid who like can barely buy Top Ramen soup, right? And he orders these three drinks, and the waitress brings them up, or the bartender sets them there. We each grab one, and she goes, and she's talking to Jeff, and he goes, "Awesome, that'll be $50. And I'm like, $50 for three drinks? No joke, my rent in college was $300 a month. That is 1/6 of my monthly rent. Like $50. And Jeff just like pulls out his wallet. Like it was no big deal. Like he kind of gets the price of alcohol. And I'm thinking, that is insane. And I don't even like the drink. And it was $50 for three drinks. So you've got that just in general, right? The alcohol is just going to cost you money in general. But then there's some hidden costs that I think are important to talk about. How many of you, now don't raise your hand, but in your head, how many of you know of a friend or a family member or maybe your family who has been in a divorce primarily due to alcoholism? Most of us, probably either ourselves, a friend, a family member. Do you know that the average divorce without children is $17,000, just like for legal fees and the divorce part, that with children, it's $26,000? That alcohol can lead to all sorts of other things. Alcoholism can lead to all sorts of other things. Think of when people get drunk, what happens? They start to make bad decisions. And how many of you may know somebody or know what a DUI is? Do you know that the average DUI costs about $10,000? Minor in possession costs money. Vandalizing when people get drunk. I remember in college, I had a buddy. We were walking down the street one late night or whatever, and he's drunk. And when he got drunk, he like got angry, and he took this beer bottle that he found, and he just like threw it on the ground. It shattered everywhere, and there was a police officer right behind him. He got written up a ticket for like messing up the street or whatever it was. He had to go to court. He had to pay this fine. That not only is it just the alcohol that costs money, but there's all sorts of stuff. I had a buddy in college who went out one night. He got completely drunk. Remember, we talked about this in week 2 where you don't remember things. It hinders your judgment, right? And while he was drunk, he thought he would be the cool guy and orders the entire bar a round of drinks. Doesn't remember it. Wakes up the next morning, looks in his wallet, finds a receipt by his credit card for $2,000. He bought $2,000 of drinks at a bar, doesn't even remember it. We make poor financial choices sometimes while we're drinking, let alone maybe the hospital bills that come along with doing something stupid while we're drinking. I had a friend get his stomach pumped when he was in college. That's not free, by the way, even if you have insurance. Maybe drinking so much kind of tore up your liver or whatever that might be, that there are other financial costs that come as well. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 16 this morning. Luke chapter 16. And I'm going to go through these quickly, but I'd encourage you to write them down on your bulletin. These are important for you guys to go back and look at. Jesus is talking here in Luke. And this is the parable of the shrewd manager. If you've ever heard this, there's this business owner. He's got this guy that's managing all of his accounts for him. People owe this guy money. The manager collects all the money from these people. The manager's not doing a very good job at first. The business owner brings him into his office and says, "Hey, I'm going to fire you," in essence. And here's where we find ourselves in verse 10. Jesus says this. Jesus is telling this to his disciples. "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" I don't think Jesus would consider the $2,000 bar tab, the $10,000 DUI, the $50 drink at the bar night after night after night. I don't know if Jesus would consider that being trustworthy of riches that he has given us here on earth. He calls them worldly riches. Number two, drunkenness costs physical harm. We hit on this in week two, but I want to hit on it again because it's important. That when we drink, when our bodies continue to have alcohol in us, it's poison that we're putting in our bodies. And an excess poison in your body time after time, year after year, week after week is not a good thing. It lessens our immune system. It helps our heart turn to heart failure. It kills our brain cells. It destroys our liver. It can lead to pancreatitis. It can also lead to different types of cancer in your throat in different places, because as it lessens your immune system, more things can come in and attack. That drunkenness costs us physical harm. It also ruins our bodies, the temple of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17, I want you to turn there with me this morning if you can. Again, put these on your notes because we're going to go fast through these. But 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17 says this: "Don't you know that yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." This is the temple of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of us, and he doesn't want us throwing parties that are going to ruin our bodies. I showed this picture on Wednesday night. I'm going to show it again because I think it is powerful. This is a picture of two brothers. This is my grandpa Bob, his brother Bill. This is my uncle Bill. They are the same exact age, 85 years old. They were born at the same exact time, with the same exact DNA, with the same exact mom and dad. The only difference here is that Uncle Bill decided to make a lifestyle of drinking and drunkenness. He decided not to follow the Lord and decided to live in a world of affairs and adultery and bad relationships with his kids, all centered around drinking. My Papa Bob decided to follow Jesus and live a life of moderation and love and care and being in a good marriage with his wife. And at 85 years old, this picture was just taken in the last 12 months. This is the two of them. If you were to have seen them growing up when I was young, they were identical. You could not tell them apart. But yet, because of choices that they made, the cost is now different. They made different choices that have resulted in different things. Drunkenness costs harm to our body. And we need to recognize that. Number three, drunkenness costs reputation. Think of the bad decisions that people make when they're drunk. Think of the bad decisions that you maybe have made when you're drunk. That you wake up that next morning and not only do you wake up with a hangover, but you wake up with a moral hangover. And sometimes the moral hangover can actually be worse than the physical hangover. That while you were drunk, you said something horrible. You did something bad. You got in a car when you shouldn't have. Name it. But that we make bad choices when we're drunk. And each of you, I would assume, probably not all of you, but a handful of you probably know those people at your school, and maybe you're one of them, who have the reputation as the partier, right? You could probably think of that person who maybe they are super popular and they've got all the friends, but they've got that reputation of that person that they party, and with that comes kind of lies and maybe not the most faithful to their girlfriend or boyfriend. For me, that was Kyle Jenkins in my high school. Kyle was awesome, played on the football team. The dude was a total stud. Every single student liked him. Everyone wanted to be with him. But every single weekend, Kyle drank because he had so much pain in his life. Because in high school, he found out that who his dad was actually not his dad. Long story, but he didn't find this out until he was in high school. And there was a ton of messiness that came on. And so Kyle drank for safety. Kyle drank because he had so much pain, he didn't know what to do with it. And because of it, Kyle was accepted on the weekends because Kyle was in control of the parties and all of that sort of stuff. But unfortunately, Kyle's reputation was horrible. It was a reputation of someone who cheated on his girlfriends. It was a reputation where teachers knew that he was not the kid that they were going to give awards to or leadership awards to or empower him or anything like that. Kyle was the kid who my parents said, he can come to our house, but you can't go to Kyle's house. I know Kyle's reputation. It's crazy how even our parents can start to learn the reputations of other people. As we make bad decisions, that reputation sometimes can take a long time to get away from us. You may be less hireable in a job because of bad decisions that you've made. But our reputation can stay with us, and God is good and can forgive and will forgive and redeem. But let us not be naive to the fact that one of the costs is that our reputation may get tattered, which will make it harder for you to get back in that realm. 1 Corinthians 11:1 is the next passage that I want us to go to this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Would we be people who have that type of reputation? That we would be people that don't have the partier reputation, but have the reputation of that guy, that girl, they follow after Christ. And in high school, I get that that reputation actually might not get you acceptance all the time. And that reputation might put another reputation of dork on your forehead. But that would be my desire for us. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. Oh, I love this. Proverbs are fantastic. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. I would encourage you to read the book of Proverbs. You can read one chapter in Proverbs a month. It'll take you a whole month to get through. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. A good reputation matters. Protect your reputation. The fourth, drunkenness costs time. So often when we get drunk, we are not present in the moment. The memories that we build, the intimacy that we create become foggy. Sometimes we don't even remember these things afterwards. I think one thing that we sometimes don't recognize is especially, well, really all throughout life, but in high school and college, that choosing this route could possibly cost you years of waiting to grow up. That when people choose to drink, it hinders them from maybe having the desire to go out and get a job. It hinders them maybe from opportunity that will get them into other positions to kind of use their time in better ways. Let me tell you a story that maybe will make this a little bit more clear. I went to college. I went to University of Oregon. Wasn't a big drinker in high school. Kind of had to figure out more after I turned 21 in college. All my kind of buddies back in high school who were in that kind of crowd. 4 years later, I come home from college. Jason invites me over to his house with all of kind of our football crew of buddies who they all kind of drank. And I'd hang out with them, but didn't really indulge in it. And I came home from college, and I'll never forget walking into their house. And it literally felt like I was 4 years back in time. I walked into their house. They're watching the same exact shows that were filthy and horrible. They're drinking the same exact beer. They're talking about the same exact things. And all of them are still 4 years into community college and probably haven't even completed a year yet. And I remember sitting there just thinking, oh my gosh, drunkenness has literally stunted your growth by 4 years. Here, me and some of our other friends have gone off and are now like already in jobs and have our degrees and like our bodies are healthier. We don't have the beer belly yet, like all these different things. And 4 years later, they're in the same spot. Drunkenness can cost us important time to mature and develop. A lot of times the people that indulge in drinking, even in college, that they sometimes are on the 5, 6, 7 year plan. I know some students that have even been a part of this youth ministry years ago who still haven't graduated from high school because drinking consumes so much of their time. And I want to argue that if this is the route we choose, that drunkenness can cost time. I want you to turn to Psalm 39. We're going to go verses 4 through 5. Psalm 39. 4 through 5. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Ladies and gentlemen, life is short. It is short. It is a small dot on a huge line that goes forever. And so in your short breath of life, don't waste your time. There are so many better things to be doing on your weekends during your summer than to be caught up in things that are going to distract you from actually living your life to the fullest. Jesus says, I came to give life and to give it to the fullest. So let's not waste our time with things that are wasteful. Let's not waste our time with things that won't bring life. And then number 5, and arguably the most important thing to consider for those of us who are Christians in this room this morning, is that drunkenness costs intimacy with God. Sin distances us from God. Sin, drinking is going, or drunkenness is going against his will. When we sin against God, we become hesitant to step into church. When we sin, we don't want to pick up our Bible because it's the last thing that we want to do. When we start to sin is when I start to see less and less of high school students. Because as sin enters our life, we step into a church and we feel judged. We feel convicted. We feel belittled. We feel whatever it may be, because sin distances us from God. There's two places I want us to go to look at this. The first is Isaiah 59:2. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Our sin distances us from God. When we sin, sometimes we want nothing to do with God. It's not that he doesn't want anything to do with us, but it's that our iniquities, our wrongdoing, it starts to separate us. We don't want to come to church. We don't want to be in that small group. We don't want somebody to tell us what we're doing is wrong, and so it distances us. Psalm 119 is the next place that I want you to go. Psalm 119:45 says, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Would we do the opposite? When we sin, we distance ourselves. But when we follow in his way, in his precepts, we actually find freedom. And I want you guys to see that in this series, that there's two sides of everything. And we need to understand what those two sides are. it may be hard to follow some of the guidelines that God kind of lays out for us. But there is freedom in following his commands. And then lastly, I want you to turn to Luke 16. This is the last place we're going to be going in Scripture this morning. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. We are already here earlier this morning. This is the parable of the shrewd manager that Jesus was talking about. Later on, this is what Jesus says. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We can't serve two masters. We either are intimate with God or we choose to separate ourselves from him. In summary, the five costs of drunkenness can be monetary, physical, reputation, time, and intimacy with Christ. If you choose at any point in your life to indulge in drunkenness, if you choose at any point in your life to start going down this road more, just be aware of what you're choosing. Just be aware of what God says. Be aware of logically the stories that can take place. And don't be naive that you're going to be the only person in history who this won't make a difference to. And maybe you can get away with it like some of my friends did for 10 years through high school and then even went on to play college Division I sports and still partied all the time and it felt like it was doing nothing to them and thought that they were getting away with it. And eventually, catching up, being put in jail and losing that scholarship, getting a DUI and losing that potential to go into the NFL, whatever that might be. As the worship team comes up, I want to leave you with this thought. Is the cost of drinking worth paying? And maybe more relevant to you today, is the cost of drinking underage worth paying? Some of us don't drink and don't want to. Some of us don't drink and want to. Some of us drink occasionally but are feeling convicted. And others of us drink often and aren't convicted. Wherever you fall, ask yourself this question and you have to answer it. Is the cost of drinking worth paying? I want you to take some time as we get the lights off, as worship starts to tone in. What is stirring in your thoughts after today's talk? You've got some room at the bottom of your bulletin to just write. You can shut your eyes. But as we worship this morning, I want you to just sit with what is it that's stirring in you? It'll be a million different things for each of us. What's beautiful is that God can find each one of us where we are. But take whatever stirring, maybe excitement, joy, maybe something new that you learned, maybe conviction, maybe intrigue, maybe disagreement, and just sit in whatever it is that is stirring. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I am so grateful that we can come together and talk about stuff. And I'm grateful that your word is full of awesome things that encourages us and helps us and guides us. God, a lot of us in this room, this series will not hit us maybe for another 5, 6, 7 years. Some of us, this series is hitting us right now. Meet us where we are. Challenge us in the ways you want us to be challenged. We give these things to you. In your name, amen.